Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Good evening, everybody. It's 8 o'clock here on the East Coast. Thank you for joining another edition of At Home with Victoria. I'm Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host for this evening. Our lovely news lady, Victoria, has decided that she would have liked to gone paddleboarding this afternoon and is now recovering with several jellyfish bites on her legs. So that's what she gets for doing something physically fit. So anyway, she won't be joining us tonight. She'll be back with us next week. I'm excited about the show tonight. We have a good friend of mine, Steve Silverman, a critically acclaimed author, writer, producer, director. He does craft service. He does everything. But Steve Silverman, creator of Pretty the Series, and now The Inn is coming up that I'm very excited to chat about. And we also have Saints of Havana. Saints of Havana, a brand new band in Nashville, lighting up the charts. I'm looking forward to hearing them. They have cowboy hats, rock guitars, flowing blonde hair, and chiseled abs. So that's good enough for me. So we're going to start off with a little bit of tunage from Saints of Havana, and then we'll be right back with Steve Silverman. This is Saints of Havana with Movie Star. Don't go away.
Never had too much to call her own, but she's always been my queen. And she thinks she's not important, 'cause she doesn't have fancy things. That ain't what love's about. One day she'll figure out she's not anyone to anyone else. Oh, but she's my girl. She ain't a VIP except to me.
Just a face in the crowd, to the rest of
Well, hello, everybody. Just for all of those who have Comcast service, I would like to tell Comcast that I wish them hemorrhoids and sitting in gravel. I am so upset. But anyways, that was Saints of Havana with Movie Star. Joining us now is Steve Silverman. Steve, are you still there?
Oh, God. I fell asleep, but I'm here.
Oh, I love live radio. It's that thrill of the hunt. How are you, mister?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm good now. Now that we're back online, there's nothing like that panic when everything drops out. You know, I just that rush of adrenaline. You must know that. But anyways, thanks for joining us, buddy. Let's go right into. Let's talk about Pretty. Let's update us on Pretty. You got season four that you're working on. You're releasing some behind the scenes stuff coming up.
Yeah, we're actually redoing the entire website as we speak. It'll be ready, I hope, by tomorrow, and you'll see a brand new website, and we have a brand new 10-minute behind-the-scenes video from Season 3 featuring all our guest stars. So it's really a fun piece we put together. It features a lot longer piece interview with Jeannie Francis, Kirsten Vangsness, Denise Alexander, Martha Byrne, Melissa Peterman, Melanie Hutzel, all our guest stars. And it's a really fun little piece, and it's going to kind of kick off our new website that we just designed that now incorporates my next project, The Inn. So it's a happy little family of everybody living together on the same site.
Absolutely. Now, I know you're not going to give us a lot of information about The Inn because you're, you know, roughly a big tease, but what can you tell us about it? It looks creepy. It looks ghoulish.
I love Hitchcock, and I love one of my favorite movies. If you haven't seen it out there, there's a movie called The Changeling. It's not the Angelina Jolie version. It's a version with George C. Scott. It's from 1973. It's one of the scariest movies I've ever seen in my life. There's no blood. There's no gore. It's a ghost story, and it'll freak you out. And it's really, really well done. It's old school scary movie where there's a house. And it's haunted, or it's not haunted, or he's going crazy, and you don't know all these things. And I kind of modeled The Inn after that in a lot of my favorite Hitchcock movies. And we're going to have a lot of fun. We're actually just locked in our filming dates. We're going to film December 1st and 2nd up in Ojai, California. And then we'll pick up another day the following week here in Los Angeles. And it's really cool. We have a home that we're going to be using as The Inn. It's from 1908. And it's called the Dent House, and it's a pretty amazing structure. And we're going to use that as the inn. And we went up there and scouted a few weeks ago. We filmed a nice little teaser that will go up on our website on October 1st. So you'll get a first look at what we're talking about.
Is that going to be on your Facebook, The Inn, or your website with Pretty?
It's going to be on everywhere. It'll be on
everywhere.
You know me. I'll put it anywhere I can possibly get it. So, yeah, it'll be all over.
I want to make mention, too, we have a live chat going on today. Gina from California, a bunch of new guests joining us. Marby from Nashville Producing, Mike Cullip, Sandy from Nebraska, and Shannon Sibbald from the UK joining in. All of them applauding your choice on Mason. Very, very pleased that you cast Mason. Apparently, there's someone's itchy.
Oh, my God, that's funny. We adopted a new puppy. We already have two dogs and two cats, and we were not going to adopt him. We were just going to foster him. We fostered dogs before, but we fell in love with him, and he's just awesome. His name was Dandy when we got there, and, like, I picked him up like I do with any time we get a dog or a cat. I pick the dog or cat up. I look him in the eyes and go, okay, tell me your name. And 30 seconds later, like 5 seconds later, a name pops in my head, and the name Mason popped in my head. I looked at Jim, and I said, Mason? And he goes, yeah, that's great. So he's an awesome little dude. He's actually the mellowest puppy I have ever have the pleasure of happened into our lives. And he's just a lump.
Is he a yellow lab?
We don't know what he is. He's like a golden lab shepherd mix. He's beautiful, and he is so sweet, and he's so timid, and he's still really – he grew up they found him in a field. He was like 2.5 months old, and so we quickly taught him, you know, peeing outside, not peeing in my house, and – He's like eating out of a bowl was like ridiculous too. Like he eats like from day one, he eats as if he's never going to eat again. And we have to like pull the bowl away from him and be like, dude, slow down. You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Let's go back to The Inn now. This venture is with, are you writing it with Emma Caulfield?
Well, I have some actual news. I wrote it for Emma Caulfield, and Emma and I actually spoke, believe it or not, I could show you text about 2 hours ago. Emma has decided she has a couple other projects she's working on, and she's actually in New York City right now, and she's not sure when she's going to be back, and she has decided that she cannot commit to the inn right now. So we are going to be recasting our lead actress. We have someone very special in mind as well, and a couple other irons in the fire, but we've already put an offer out to somebody that we're very, very excited to see if she'll say yes. And if she says yes, you will read all about it on our Facebook page or at the In Series on Twitter. And, just found that out. But I am the guy who believes bigger and better, moving on, moving upwards, moving on.
Absolutely. Meant to happen. And,
yes.
You know what? And Emma wrote her own series, too. What was it called?
It's called Bandwagon, and she
Bandwagon,
wrote it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she co-wrote it with a woman named Carrie Bowman and a few other writers. And believe me when I say this, I have no hard feelings toward Emma at all. She's a good friend and a sweetheart. And it's just one of those things where the timing didn't work out. It was working out when we were going to film in October, but then when we shifted the filming to December, it just doesn't work for her schedule. So we just move on, and we go.
Yeah.
And I got in my back
absolutely.
Pocket a young lady who played Annette Champagne on Pretty who said to me, you know, she's ready anytime to step in, just let her know. So
that would be delish. I think she could play spooky good.
She could play anything. Stacey McQueen is my best friend, and she's the best. And I told her, she always says to me, she's like, go find who you want, the best person, but know that I'm your backup. Know that I'm your backup. So it's funny when we did Pretty, I'm like, there is no backup. It's you. You're the girl. So.
We'll take you, bunions and all.
Exactly, bunions and all.
Bunions and all. Who else have you cast now in the end? I think you can tell us that, right?
Oh yeah. There's a great actor named Mark Gant. He was in he had his own series. I'm blanking at the moment on it. It'll come to me in a second. But he had his own web series, and Mark does a lot of online web series work, and he's a terrific actor. We cast two of my very good friends from over the years, Mr. Ray Prussia, who was actually in Pretty. He was Charles Tamag in season 2 of Pretty. Taller guy. And then my really good friend Chuck Sloan, who I haven't worked with in forever, and I'm so excited that we got him. And then we have a new actor named Kyle David Pierce, who we just cast as our as our hunky young man. And then, of course, my good friend Denise Alexander is locked in and ready to go. She actually has a very big part in this, which is really cool. And we're excited to all get together, you know, and it's fun for us. We're actually going to go up to Ojai to a ranch and film on the ranch for 2 days, and it'll be a really fun weekend. And I'm more looking forward to the possibility of actual ghosts and spiritual activity happening, which I think would be, like, cool if it was, like, the filming of the inn. So when cameras start flying around or the house starts saying, get out, we'll have a good time.
Is the house actually haunted, do you feel?
I don't think so, because it's a house that I've actually spent time in and I've slept in several times. I don't think it is. I would say that maybe other parts of the property are, because there's a couple parts of the property at night. It's a canyon. It's really dark there, and I could see where you'd go, oh, crap.
Literally and then figuratively.
Right. And we're also we're really happy. We just secured a location here in LA that I really, really wanted to get. It's such a cool space, and we're going to film. Most of it obviously takes place at the inn, but there's a diner as well. So we have this awesome diner here in LA we're going to film at. We're really excited that we got it.
Wow. I know the material is going to be totally different, but are you going to follow a similar format to Pretty with the 7 to 8 minute episodes and chop it up in a 13, 14 episode kind of thing?
It's going to be totally different in that each episode is only about 2 to 3 pages. The episodes will be about 2 to 3 minutes each. We're going to do all 3 seasons in 1 year. So you'll see season 1, all 5 episodes, February to the first week of March. You'll see season 2 in June, first week of July. And then the final season will begin in October. So what I kind of wanted to do was tell a mini movie in 1 year. I didn't want everybody to have to wait a year. You know, I think people who do what I do, and everyone can speak toward this, is like, you know, we wait for funding, and, you know, you kind of do one season and see who will fund you for the next one and how you're going to get your money. We pretty much have our money pulled together for this, and I said, let's just shoot it all at once. let's air it all at once, let's be different than everybody else, and really try to get a good roll going where we get people excited about season one, and then they watch season two and season three, and I think it'll be really fun. It's going to be, like I said, very different from Pretty. Pretty's a comedy. Pretty makes people laugh. This will not make people laugh. This will hopefully give you a couple shivers, and I think people will really enjoy it. It's a really fun, fun story with a lot of twists to it.
Wow. Are you thinking shivers through the script or shivers through actual happenings?
I am thinking hopefully a little bit of both. And cool. The whole story, the crux of the story, like any Hitchcock film, is this all happening or is the main character imagining
crazy.
All of it?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's going to be the question for all of season one and most of season two. And then right toward the end of season two, you're going to get your answer. And so
yeah.
Once you get your answer, you can go from there. It'll be really fun.
Yeah. Sandy from Nebraska wants to know, are you bringing any of the characters from Pretty to the End? I think we answered that with Annette Champagne, that possibly she may take it. But also, too, Marby in Nashville wants to know, do you write impulsively or do you pre-plan the story? I think we covered that with Pretty when you write it backwards. You finish it in your head, and then you start fixing it.
It's kind of interesting. I mean, The End comes from a screenplay treatment that I never finished the actual screenplay. So when I looked at it, I thought, you know what, this would make a great web series. And I sort of used the treatment, but I went far away from the treatment toward the end because the story I can't do it the same way in a movie, in a web series the way I could in a movie. I would need a lot more money, so I had to figure out how I could do it this way. But it always just depends. You know, for me, the characters tell the story. The characters are the ones
right.
leading the story. The characters will literally, there's so many times that examples in Pretty that I can give you. You know, in season one of Pretty, I never planned that Rabina would be pregnant. When I was writing episode 5, I got to this point and something in it told me, she said to him, God, I haven't been this nauseous since ... meaning she was morning sickness. And all of a sudden I said, well, yeah, that makes sense because she's been having sex with him in the car for 5 episodes. Of course she's pregnant. Oh my God, this is perfect. But the character told me that. And and I really get in line with the characters and I try to do all that. And to answer Sandy's question, none of the Pretty characters themselves will be in there, but keep an eye out because I'm in talks with some Pretty actors of doing little cameos in the end because I think that could be kind of fun.
Yeah. Mike Kolop from Maryland wants to know, is Steve going to shoot both the end and Pretty after this year or will he do just one?
Hi, Mike Kolop. The plan is the end will shoot in December and then Pretty will hopefully start shooting in February or March. The plan would be that we'll give you all three seasons of The End this year, plus a fourth season of Pretty by hopefully, I would say, the fall, maybe November.
Okay.
It really depends on everybody's schedule. The great thing with the Pretty cast, and like everyone always says to me, is Jeannie Francis coming back? Is Kirsten coming back? Is Martha coming back? I'd love to work with all these people, but this idiot here created 26 characters. And trying to coordinate
yeah.
26 schedules, it's impossible, especially when they all keep booking jobs. So, yeah, it's a lot of work. It'll just depend on the work. But a big thanks to Marilyn and Sandy and Mike and everybody out there who keeps supporting us, and we really appreciate it. And I know that we're like a little cult following thing, and it's crazy to believe that, you know, we're coming up on 3 years since Pretty premiered,
yeah.
and we keep going.
Well, you developed a family here, you know. You met a lot of sick people who fell in love with Pretty, and now they're looking forward to seeing what The Inn is going to provide. But let's go back to funding for a bit, because I know a couple seasons of Pretty was done on Kickstarter and stuff. What did you use for The Inn? Did you use Kickstarter again, or did you use Indiegogo?
Well, here's the thing. We put up an Indiegogo account for $10,000. We raised about, I want to say, 26 or 27, somewhere around there. So we didn't reach our goal. We already had some money left over in the bank from Pretty. And then through the very nice generosity of people at any time who want to support art and web work and our series, you can go to prettytheseries.com. There's a PayPal link right there. You can give $5. You can give $10. I say all the time, like, if a movie is worth $8, if a Broadway show is worth $75 or $150, if your cable's worth $25 a month, what is a season? And in this case, with The Inn, 3 seasons worth of
yeah.
something, you know, totally cool like The Inn or Pretty, is it worth $5? Is it worth $10? And a little bit adds up as you go. You know, it's pretty common, like we did with Pretty the first season. We raised, you know, $1,000 or $2,000, and I kicked in the rest, and John and Doug's production company kicked in money, and Jim, my partner, kicked in money. And then you hit second season, and people go, oh, my God, I love that. I love that. I'll give, you know, something toward that. And so I get with the inn, people aren't ready to give as much because they're like, well, what is this thing? Well, I like it. Do I really support it? And I understand that. So we kind of have to prove ourselves again, and I'm ready to prove myself. So I have to say that I'm the luckiest bastard in the world because my entire crew never wants to be paid. They don't want to be paid. They just want to work on good stuff, and they want to work with me, and I want to work with them. And I'm giving everybody a free trip to Ojai. So
there we go. Everybody loves Ojai.
Hopefully we don't run out of food, and it'll be good.
Absolutely. Well, there's lots of gas stations on the way. Just pick up some pretzels and some.
Could you imagine?
And you're fine.
Could you imagine?
Craft service.
We were laughing so hard because I kept saying, "I'm like, my fear is just like we order lunch and we're like one sandwich short, and we're like on some ranch because it's about 15, 20 minutes out of town, and then some poor like you know one poor actor didn't get there soon enough, and we're all just enjoying our sandwiches like, sorry.
Suck it up. So sorry.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, as you know, I mean, I'm sorry I can't tell you more about the inn. As you know, I am always top secret about my projects, and I like that because I like the payoff. I mean, I think with Pretty, we've always delivered, and we've never shared anything before it was time. And, you know, when we released in season two that we had Joan Van Ark, everyone was so excited, but then everyone started asking, who's she going to play, who's she going to play, who's she going to play? And the truth is, we didn't tell a soul until it aired. And I loved that. And the same thing with Jeannie. Everybody wanted to know Jeannie Francis. Who's she going to play? And we made everybody wait until the trailer. And then everybody got a really big kick out of it. And I like that. I think that, you know, I think the Internet's awesome. And I love Facebook. And I love Twitter. And I love our ability to communicate. But I also think that there's this old school out there that, you know, it's cool when you don't know the ending to The Sixth Sense. And you don't know the ending to a movie. And you go, oh, my God, I got to experience it. That was so cool. And it wasn't ruined because somebody, you know, ran on there to tell you in advance, oh, my God, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. So that is why I'm keeping hush-hush about the inn. But I promise you, you will love it. And we'll start putting stuff up in October in just a few weeks. And we're going to do a photo shoot. And our new lead actress will be announced very soon. And it'll be good times.
Wow. Speaking about social media and stuff, I saw that you were actually got to meet a hero of mine, Miss Lindsay Wagner.
I did.
I loved that piece of information. I wanted to scratch her eyes out with the best intentions in my mind. But how was meeting Miss Lindsay?
It was pretty cool. We were in Palm Springs. She got a star. Linda Carter presented it. There was like 500 people. Then they had this whole thing where, like, at the end, you can go up and take a photo with her. And I was, like, sort of standing there, but there's, like, hundreds of people. And I thought, you know what, this is cool. I'm, like, 20 feet away. Like, I always loved the $6 million man and the Bionic Woman. I'm, like, this is cool. Kind of a childhood idol kind of thing. This is awesome. I'm going to leave. I'm good. We leave. A week later, we're back in Palm Springs. We're at our favorite little vegetarian, vegan diner place. This woman walks in, walks past us a second time, sits down right next to us. Jim looks at her, I look at her, and I'm like, this is not happening. She was right there. I literally get out of the booth, sat down and said, can I sit here for a second? And she said, sure. And I introduced myself, and we talked, and she was delightful. And, yes, I did give her a pretty card, and, yes, I said, you are invited on this anytime. And I told her, you know, I'm going to be working on a season 4, and I'd love to talk to you about it. And she said, great. And and we'll see. It was really cool. She was so nice. And, you know, it was just like – and the great thing about her is she looks fantastic. She looks her age. She looks really happy, and it was cool.
But she looks comfortable in her skin. I saw some Getty images of her, and it's just like, oh, you know what? She's aged lovely.
Yeah.
You know, just with a lot of class and a lot of dignity. So
Totally.
Now, you have some personal things. I know I'm always bringing this up, Steve, because I saw them on Facebook, but you and Jim are making a transition that I'm very, very excited for you both. I wish you all the best. I know Jim got a new job. Care to go ahead and fill us in?
I don't really talk too much about my personal life on the radio, Michael. we are
just on Twitter and Facebook.
We have right. That's what that's for. We're gonna make a big change. We've been wanting to move to. We bought a house in Palm Springs 2 years ago. It was such a great deal. There was no way we couldn't buy it, and we couldn't afford to buy here in LA. And so we bought in Palm Springs. We've been going there a lot, and we both want to move there full time. I spent a lot of years in Phoenix and Tucson, Arizona, and we love it. You know, the hot and Jim got an amazing job opportunity, and he asked me if he should take it, and I said, take it. So we are going to move out there he's moving out in 2 weeks to start his job. I'm going to follow about a month later, and we're going to just do our lives from there. And it's only an hour and 45 minutes out of L.A. There's no reason why I can't drive in when I need to. And also so much stuff is being done, you know, here's an email. There you go. You know, here, we all log on, and we're all Skyping, having a meeting. So it's not that big of a deal, I think. It's kind of weird for me. I mean, he lived here 14 years. I just lived here. I just passed 20 years. And I just really feel that it's the right time, and I feel it's the right thing. And the funny thing is we've been talking about it, and I kept saying to him, October 1. I see this happening on October 1. And he wound up a week ago getting a job offer. He got an interview. He got the job offer this past Monday, and the job starts October 1. And that's where you know, you put it out there, and if it's what's meant to be, you go for it. I am, for the first time in my life, I am not scared or, oh, my God, I'm not going to have a job, even though I'm not. And I'm just ready to go to the next thing, and I'm ready to write and do what I love doing. And you know, as I've been saying to people recently about a lot of things, if something is not fun, don't do it anymore.
Right.
And that really is my motto in life. And so I really have been following that, and this just feels fun. So I want to do it.
Well, good. I'm so happy for you and Jim, and I think the change will be fantastic. If the inn is half as successful as Pretty, I think we'll have I'm looking so very forward to seeing it, buddy, and I think it's going to be a great success for you. And, you know, please keep Saints of Havana in your mind for the inn. I mean, they're coming up next, and I think they got, you know, they can do some really good really good shit for you, like some of our people did for Pretty.
They can also, they are, I just listened to their song, they're more than welcome to re-record a Gumdrop the Unicorn for season 4 of Pretty. And we would be happy to feature it. And thanks so much for having me. And I promise, when the inn launches, I'll bring on whoever you want, if you'll have us, and we will we'll answer every single question, because you guys can be watching it at that point, and it won't be this cryptic, like, whoa, what is he doing?
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're always welcome here, buddy. You're a good friend. And then please pass on my love to Jim Mason and the other animals that you have there, and love to everybody Pretty.
And tell do me a favor and tell Victoria to just pour tell her rubbing alcohol on open sores is probably the best thing to do.
Well, I got my medical degree from France. Aren't you just supposed to pee on it?
Fantastic. I'm headed right over with my own.
Buddy, I love you tons. Thanks for coming on, and come back soon, all right?
We'll see you soon. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye. Steve Silverman with Pretty the Series. Now, The Inn launching coming up soon, so I'm looking very forward to it. So because of a little glitch, we're going to go ahead and replay Saints of Havana movie star. I see they're all in the house and on the line, so I'm very excited to go ahead and have them on. But once again, let's try this with Saints of Havana movie star. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ray, Aaron, and Caesar. Hold on.
She grew up in a poor small town, just west of New Orleans, and never had too much to call her own, but she's always been my queen. And she thinks she's not important, 'cause she doesn't have fancy things. That ain't what love's about. One day she'll figure out she's not anyone to anyone else. Oh, but she's my girl. She ain't a VIP except to me, yeah. Oh, she's my whole world. Just a face in the crowd to the rest of the crowd. But in a crowd, she's all I she's a movie star to me. something says it just ain't so. And she's feeling so much old. It says her body ain't what it was. She worries all the time. Life's leaving her behind. She's not anyone to anyone else. Oh, but she's my girl. She ain't a VIP except for me, yeah. Never felt so sure. From the smell of her hair, to the light in her eyes, to the touch of her hand, it just feels so right. I wanna make her see just what she means to me. What she means to me. She's not anyone to anyone else. Oh, but she's my girl. She's a movie star to me. She's a movie star. She's my movie star.
Saints of Havana. Movie star joining us now. Ray Monte Cristo, Cesar Monte Cristo, and Aaron Shea from Saints of Havana. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to At Home with Victoria.
Thank you, Michael.
Cool beans. All right, I'm going to ask Ray the first question. Ray, who is the movie star we're all fawning over? I'm curious.
Movie star is just a concept about, you know, every woman that is working hard, that is taking care of her kids, that is at home, and she feels like she's not pretty anymore. And we wrote that song to all the women in America that feel that way, but you know, they're beautiful for everything they do for their husbands and for everything, you know, and it's the everyday woman that's got more than just outer beauty, but also inner beauty.
Well, you guys just achieved 50,000 more viewers with that explanation, but Cesar, tell us, you and Ray are brothers, and you guys came from Cuba, and how did you land from Cuba? Where did you actually land first in the U.S.?
Key West. When we were 4 and 5 years old, and imagine it was a great experience for us, because we got to experience so many things that we didn't have an opportunity to in Cuba. Starting with our freedom, obviously, and then obviously all the other things, you know, that this great country, you know, brought us. But
absolutely,
you know, it was quite an experience. You know, obviously we wouldn't have the opportunity to be here talking with you tonight that we do. So
I know.
Itself is a great blessing.
Yeah, and we grew up in Miami, very Cuban. You know, Spanish was our first language, anyways. And if you go to Miami and you hang out there, it's like little Cuba, you know.
Oh yes, I watch Real Housewives of Miami, and I'm very very familiar with the Cuban roots down there. But let's go to Aaron. Aaron, how did you get yourself hooked up with these two?
Well, I had actually been touring with another band in South America, and when I came back, it was just for mostly covers and some of my original stuff. And when I came back to Nashville after my hiatus, I was looking for something, and they were looking for something, and we just fit together. They were looking for an American singer, and I was looking for country and some way to infuse Latin into it. And I didn't have the tools myself, and Ray and Cesar are extremely gifted musicians. And our vision, from the first time we started playing and writing together, we saw that our vision was going to meld, and we spent a year writing our first album while Ray's was letting his foot heal.
Wow. You know, I will have to say, I'll give this to Ray. Ray, the difference between Cuban music and country music is not really that far off with the melodies and the licks and everything like that. But what made you choose country music out of any other genre?
Man, it's got so much melody. Rock and roll.
Yeah.
We used to play rock and roll, me and Caesar, and metal and stuff. And it's lost so much of the songwriting and the melody and the beautiful instruments in it. And that's what we grew up very influenced by the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And great bands like Queen and Pink Floyd and, you know, all
that's
the great music, Aerosmith, you know.
Yeah.
And we wanted to bring that into country music, and country music was pretty much there at the time. We got very lucky at the time we decided to come into country music, like about 5 years ago. We decided, let's go to Nashville and just form a super arena-style country music band, but with arena sound, you know.
Yeah. Well, no, you guys are doing a fantastic job. I want to go ahead and stick with the music. I'm going to play a little bit more of your tunes. This is Saints of Havana with Laugh a Little. When we get back, we're talking with Saints of Havana. Don't go away.
You hear me, Ray?
Wish I had a castle, a big yacht, a money tree, and I never had to cut the grass again. No traffic, no taxes, no getting old, but it's a fact, if I wish all day, I just lost the day. Alright. I wish I was on TV throwing touchdowns, the Super Bowl. And I wish that I could hug my dad again. I could dream of or regret things I done and ain't done yet. But this just a day, and it'll slip away.
Caesar, you got three strong personalities here. Who decides what gets written? Who decides what gets recorded?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, we really are, you know, we get along really great. We're like brothers. Now, of course, like every band, we're going to have disagreements. You know, at the end of the day, we all have to be happy with the work, you know, and you know, at the end of the day, we're all the voice, believe it or not, at the end of the day, but we will go through our disagreements, like, you know, every band does. But I think at the end of the day, for sure, we have a united voice. However, Ray does usually Ray would be the dominant voice, I'd say, in the band when it comes to stuff like that. You know, if anything has to be resolved, it would be his voice, the one that would probably, at the end of the day, he's the leader of the band, you know, the band leader, I would say.
I get it. How did you guys meet Cameron Tilbury? Let's go to Ray.
Cameron, it was a coincidence. You know, we were doing really good in the circuit. We're probably Nashville's like biggest drawing unsigned band right now, doing country rock. And Cameron actually texted me or messaged me, "Hey, I would like to go to one of the shows." And I was like, "Oh, awesome, man! Thanks a lot for wanting to go to the show." And then he said, "You want to meet with me?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, let's meet today." And then that same day, I met him at a cafe, and we started talking. And Cameron's become a very important part of us. He brought into the fold a very famous songwriter called Stuart Harris, who is now also like our patron, and he's really helping us in Nashville, and everything's going great because of those two guys, you know?
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. No, and also, too, I just want to make mention, too, Cameron's a fellow Canadian and has a weekly show on the UK radio show there that I haven't listened to yet, but I'm certainly going to go ahead and listen to the archives. But my friend, you know, being Cuban, there are no coincidences. It is the good Lord guiding you to where you need to be at the right time. Would you not agree?
Definitely. I would agree with that 1,000%. I think the country right now, the demographic, Hispanic demographic, is the fastest growing demographic right now, and we can definitely talk to those people, and they can feel a little, bring them into country music. That's one of our goals, to bring more people into the beauty of country music.
That's really interesting to bring more Cubans to listen to country music. Usually it's the other way around. Cubans want to maintain their heritage and not want to go ahead and entertain anything interesting. But, Aaron, how do you go ahead and translate to the Cuban audience? being as blonde and buff as you are.
I guess I'm a taste of vanilla. I guess just something different. My family, my heritage was actually French, and we came over in boats a few generations ago, so I don't speak any. But so I had that romantic-ish, very family-oriented aura about me, and so I gravitate towards those type of people, and those type of people are Cubans.
And his looks, man. The Cuban women love the blonde guys with the blue eyes. Forget about it. We went to the Dominican Republic.
I appreciate that. I wasn't allowed to say that, though.
Oh, man, they love that, you know. We went to the Dominican Republic, and they had to call the police to get the women off of him, you know.
They had security to get him off him. They were calling him El Rubio, and he thought they were attacking him. They were saying the blonde in Spanish, and they wanted him bad.
and really, it's about the music. If we stay true to the music and we do what we love, it transcends race, it transcends sexuality, it transcends and then nationality. It just does. And we love all people, and they can feel that from us. And that's why our live shows are so popular. Because people feel us being real on stage, and we're real in our music, and that's all we can do.
Is good, you know what I mean? And I don't mean to be rude or disrespectful to anybody, because I have, you know, my Facebook and my Reverb Nation account, and I use them for show purposes, and I get a lot of submissions. And I enjoy everyone's submission, but when I hear the hard luck story as to how hard they've been trying and they just can't seem to get a break... There are reasons for that sometimes. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're just not good. Sometimes the music is, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say not good. It's just not something I would listen to. It's not something I think is saleable. There are a lot of people out there that I think are brilliant musicians that are now just being heard. But the climb is hard and the climb is slow. But I think it just builds your stamina more than anything, because this industry, especially you picked Nashville to go ahead and launch in, you might as well be swimming with sharks, because you can't hit a guitar without hitting someone in the music business in that area. And it's a tough town, and I believe that Nashville really does help weed out those who are not maybe as saleable as others. Would you agree, Caesar?
Yeah, I agree 100%. Definitely Nashville is not a town for the faint of heart.
No, not at all.
You got to be thick-skinned and believe in what you do 100%. And if you don't, you're not going to last here long, you know, for sure.
Absolutely. Ray, Saints of Havana opened for Clint Black at the 2011 Rivers Inspires Festival. What was it like opening for Clint?
It was amazing. We've had the luck to open up for some really big acts, including Clint and Little Big Town, T. Graham Brown, who was great to us. He let us use his bus and everything. And, you know, it just showed us a little taste of what was going to be coming for us, because all of us believe, and our musicians, all of us believe that we're going to make it where we want to go through hard work and through the belief that we have and through the music, like you said. As a matter of fact, I want to give a shout-out to our great musicians that play behind us, you know, our backing musicians, John Ross on the drums, David Hoffner, who's a legend in Nashville on keyboards, and Michael Vincent, who's a symphony violin and fiddle player that gave us his talent too, you know?
Yeah, well, good, absolutely good names. It's so important to be surrounded by good people and everything. So we're going to go back to a little bit more music, then hit chat right after this. Saints of Havana for you. Don't go away. We'll be back in 4 minutes with Ray, Aaron, and Caesar.
On my way home today was a wreck on the interstate. I pulled over and called for you. I thought it was your car. I felt a hole in my heart, and I prayed for you. When I heard your voice on the phone, broke down and cried right there on the shoulder of the road. For every word I meant to say, precious moments that just slipped away. Every little thing I didn't do for you. Very first day, homeroom in seventh grade, I fell for you. That eighth grader broke my nose, but I just wanted you to know I'd fight for you. Girl, I have loved you all my life, but I didn't realize just how much till tonight. For every word I meant to say, precious moments that just slipped away.
Going to the chat room here, between Movie Star and that last song, Kelly Whitney from Delaware wants to know, Who's single, who's not? Let's go to Ray first.
None of us are single, but, you know, our women understand that there's always going to be girl fans, and we're always open to sharing time with them, and, you know, and not in the way that you, that some people might think.
Well, that's, you know what, I love three guys that are faithful to their women. I think that's an underrated virtue right now. I think right now in the current climate of everything going on with the political debates and all that bullshit, it's important to be true to yourself and everything. But let's go to Aaron here for a second. Aaron, what do you find most challenging about working with brothers? I've talked to a lot of people that work with siblings in the past, but, you know, you guys sound like to be a cohesive group, but anything really challenging to work with Ray and Caesar?
The language barrier. No.
You can say the truth, Aaron. You can say the truth. Don't worry. We won't get you afterwards.
Okay. Well, I called from a different phone just to make sure. It works out well that I'm standing in between them on stage, because that way we can get through the whole show without them killing each other.
Yeah.
That joke is getting old, bro. Say a new one.
Yeah, you said it too many times on stage already. You have to get a new one. But.
Oh, man.
Let's go to Caesar next. Caesar, how hard is it working with your brother? Ray, this question is coming to you next.
Dude, we're like twins in a way, because we're only 13 months apart. So we have a great love for each other, but at the same time, being brothers and being in a band, having difference of opinions on musical parts sometimes definitely can be challenging. You know, there'll be times I'm sure we want to kill each other, like any brother. But at the end of the day, I love him to death, and I'm his biggest fan, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. What's coming up for you guys next? I know you've got you've been touring down in Florida. What is the difference between Florida audiences and Nashville audiences? Many people who've been on At Home with Victoria say that the two audiences are very, very different. Let's go to Aaron first. How do the two audiences compare between Nashville and Florida?
Oh, particularly it being Nashville, you're playing to all musicians. Like we were talking about earlier, it's the hardest place to really generate a large fan base, because everyone, all the fans here are musicians themselves. They're all trying to do their own thing, and their time is taken up. They're not as receptive to new music. And in Florida, of course, when we get out of our own element, we feel a little more free to do what we do. As we travel down into Florida, and it's more of a relaxed atmosphere, and so many people are on vacation down there, and then, of course, you have it's more multicultural the further south you get. But it's fun playing both places. We love being at home, but we definitely love getting on the road as much as we can.
Absolutely. Ray, what would you say the differences are?
Man, to me, tell you the truth, no difference at all. Our Nashville fans, I mean, I grew up in Miami, and we have thousands of fans in Miami, but our Nashville fans are so special to us. And we, you know, I agree with Aaron. There's a lot of musicians that come see our show because they want to know what the buzz is about. But it's mostly family people and people that we meet in everyday life, and people that go to our Facebook that are great people that go to our shows, and they pack in the rooms, and they treat us with such love, because it's like you said, they love the music and they like us as people. And to me, both experiences are fantastic. I love going down to the Keys and playing the Key Largo Festival and playing, you know, the Clevelander in South Beach. And we get even new people that we never met just after we played for them. And music is all about energy, you know. We throw the energy, good energy, at the people, and we fill them with that love. And after the show, everybody wants to take pictures with us. And we're not famous, you know. Everybody wants to know who we are, wants this and that, CDs. And it's just from what we're creating, we're sharing our true soul and energy with these people, and these people are sharing back with us, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Caesar, you'd agree too. And the whole game is to sell the CDs, correct, Caesar?
Well, I mean, yeah, that would be the business end of it. But to us, and I know a lot of bands say this and a lot of artists, but to us, every show of ours, anybody who becomes a fan of ours is like family to us. And, we love partying with our crowd. We're not the type of band that plays, packs up, and leaves. We're the type of band that plays, and after the show, people out there are going to party with us till like 3, 4 a.m. in the morning. and get to know us as people, and, you know, and we appreciate them so much because they're the ones that are gonna, if we ever get really huge, they're responsible in a great part for helping us get there, you know. So we're very appreciative, and we're all the same at the end of the day, man. We're all born the same, and we're all gonna die. So life is too short to think that you're better than somebody else just because you do something like music or you're an actor or whatever, you know. We don't take that type of attitude with anybody, you know.
Absolutely. Joining us in chat is Aaron Pickering and Goofy Bone, actually, two very, very good discerning members of the music industry. But let's go to Ray. What's coming up next for you? Where are you playing? Where can we find you? I know you have saintsofhavana.com that you can go ahead and find concert information. You can find links to the music and some great band photos. But, Ray, what's the next chapter for Saints?
I think the next chapter, Stuart Harris, you know, we've worked with a lot of people in Nashville, including Orville Allman, who's Jason Aldean's attorney. He's also part of the team. But Stuart Harris and Cameron, they have some exciting things coming up for us. They're working with Paula Smith from Red Lipstick Entertainment.
Productions,
and,
yeah.
And all these people, they're all, you know, they have some great things waiting for us. But we know, like Caesar and Aaron said, we know that through the music and through the experience that people come to when they get to the live shows, you know, we're going to go where we need to go. We just got to have, we have a great team behind us, including all the musicians and Cameron and Stuart and Paula and everybody. And we're just like burning away a path for ourselves. And we're not looking to the sides. We have blinders on. We're doing it our own way. We don't believe it, you know, doing it like anybody else's way. And just do what we do and be artists first and foremost. And people love artists. The art of the artist is lost today.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of the American Idol, a lot of The Voice, all that stuff. I'm not saying, you know, I don't put anybody down for doing what they do, but an artist like Prince or an artist like, you know, like the greats, like Elvis, they're artists. They do what they do, and they don't look to the side, and they forge a path, you know?
Absolutely, and people love talent and will always continue to love talent. Want to go back to the chat room real quickly. How do we friend you guys? You can friend all of them actually on Facebook. It's Ray Montecristo, Aaron Shea, S-H-E-A, and Caesar Montecristo, M-O-N-T-E-C-R-I-S-T-O, all on Facebook. You're okay if all of our fans friend you?
Yeah, sure, man. If they go right now to Saints of Havana Facebook, they look us up on the search box, Saints of Havana, they'll see we're going to put up some videos from the last show. We just put one up for a song that Stuart wrote for us called Since You. And they can kind of get what, how, I mean, Aaron is an incredible singer live, man. Aaron's just got that gift that is a 1 in a million superstar. And, you know, we're here to back him up. And I think people are going to get it, you know?
Yeah, no. No, they're going to get it. They're going to get it huge because actually one of your things on your press package was making them a true musical tour de force, and I do believe that that is definitely in the making for all three of you. We're running out of time, but Ray, Aaron, and Caesar, I want to thank you all so much. I want to thank Paula Smith and Cameron for turning me on to you. Just adore your tunage and really think that great things are about to hit really, really big for you guys.
Thank you so much, my brother.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
We really
absolutely appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I want to give you a big shout-out, man.
Michael, thank you. I want to give you a huge shout-out for having us on and, you know, for believing in our music. That means the world to us. So
My absolute pleasure. And please come back when you got stuff to promote. Well, we're on your side all the time.
Thank you so much, Michael. Thank you, my
friend.
All
right, boys. You guys take care and have a great night.
You too. Right.
Saints of Havana with Ray Montecristo, Caesar Montecristo, and Aaron Shea, three fantastic guys. Want to thank you all for a great show tonight. I want to thank everybody up in chat, Aaron Pickering, Gutierrez, Gina from California, Goofy Bone joining us, all the new guests, Kelly Hughes Whitney, Marby in Nashville, great producing, Mike Colop, my brother from Another Mother, and Sandy was here, Shannon Sybil still joining us from the UK. And just want to thank you for a great show. So sorry Victoria's tied up with her jellyfish bites, but the last song I've chosen to play is Saints of Havana, and it's called She's Not Here, because Victoria's not here, and she would have loved this show. So I want to give my best to everybody, and thanks for listening. This is Saints of Havana with She's Not Here. Go ahead and actually check them out. They're on saintsofhavana.com, facebook.com/Saints of Havana, twitter.com, Saints of Havana, YouTube, User, Saints of Havana, and Reverb Nation, all that information is up in chat. But I do want to thank you for a great show tonight, and I hope you enjoyed it. This is Saints of Havana with She's Not Here, and God bless everybody. Have a great evening.
Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.